This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor. I hit it hard,
man. Okay, 8:06 here on Sports Map Radio Network. Good Saturday morning, everyone. My name is Will Doctor. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour at Charlie Epps Show on Twitter. Go follow us. Presented by Insperity HR. That makes a difference. So, Charlie is out today. Went to Round Top. I know he's got a funeral to attend today. Our thoughts are with him. I'm joined by the head pro at the Fazio course at Carlton Woods, Jason Alexander, and the marketing director and our good friend from Insperity, Dion, is with us. Jason, what's going on, brother?
Well, I tell you what a loaded show we have in store for all of our fans today. Look, we want to welcome all the members from the club at Carlton Woods this morning. Big 9 a.m. shotgun in Fostown. And, of course, the millions and millions of pro show fans, powered by Insperity, of course. We're all excited to be here, Will.
And we're excited to have Dion with us as well. You do a lot of marketing for Carlton Woods and the pro show, correct?
Yes, I do. Thank you for having me.
So very exciting to be here. Jason, how's your fourth go, man?
I tell you what, took kiddo up to Lake Travis, had a big time, went on the boat, went swimming, saw some family, got a little fun in the sun. And I think that's what you're supposed to do on the fourth, Will.
Absolutely, yeah. I took it pretty easy, did a little bit of fishing, but...
Did you catch anything?
Yeah, we caught about 10 speckled trout, and a couple of my buddies caught a few reds. I didn't, but it was good eating. Listen, we got a lot to discuss today in the next hour of the Charlie Epps Golf Show. We're heading into our final stretch of the PGA Tour season before the FedEx Cup playoffs. And in between now and then... we have two major events. We have the Open Championship next week. A ton to talk about that today, and we also have the Olympics, and both have so much juice to the storyline. And Jason, I'm looking forward to bringing that to the people.
We got
today.
Some hot takes for the fans. Will, stay tuned.
And anyways, so and what we didn't get to last week was the Phil gambling story, which. From Detroit last week. So we'll be excited to get into that right here in the next segment. So don't go anywhere. We'll do that right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity HR. That makes a difference. Don't go anywhere.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, 8:12. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour at Charlie Epps Golf on Twitter. Don't forget to go follow us on Sports Map Radio Network. Brought to you by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. And joined by head pro at the Fazio course, out at Carlton Woods, Jason Alexander. Jason, so much drama last week in Detroit at the Rocket Mortgage Championship. Last Friday, an article came out from the Detroit News about a gambling debt of $500,000 that was owed to Phil Mickelson from a bookie. And so many interesting pieces of the story. What were your initial thoughts about this?
Well, I read the Rob Snell article, and look, everybody knows that Phil's a gambler. No big deal. And that wasn't a newsflash to anybody in the golf industry. But look, Jack Giacalone, organized crime leader with ties to the mob. Here's my only question, Will. Look, if you're a big-time bookie, you got to have a place to launder your money, at least have a cool car dealership, a cool bar, you know, an ice cream shop. I mean, come on. Look, a relevant story is a press grab, and it was very disappointing that Phil made time in his schedule to go to Detroit, get the public behind it. And I will say a nice shout-out to Mike Sullivan, the tournament director, getting 50,000 signatures, kind of apologetic, donating some to Phil's charity, and trying to get Phil back in 2022 for the Mortgage Classic.
Absolutely. I thought he totally went about that the right way. And reading through it, Jason, I tried to pick apart – kind of the bits and pieces that Phil was probably the most unhappy with, because, you know, this bookie, Don Don DeSerrano was questioned as a witness at the 2007 racketeering trial of Jack Giacalone about Phil's involvement in this racketeering case, in which Phil's team said, of course, he had no involvement.
He placed a wager. Pay the man. That's
exactly,
it.
Exactly. And I think to sum that up, I'm sure Phil wasn't all that disappointed that it came out that a bookie owed him $500,000. I mean, right. He hit the jackpot.
But it's the backstory to it and where
exactly.
The ties were. That was the only
You're
thing.
You're involved right. with the mob. Phil doesn't want to be part of that. But, you know, I didn't realize, you know, that 2007 racketeering case was public. I was pretty young at the time. I'm sure you remember it.
Sure.
But what I found out last night was Jack Giacalone's uncle, Tony Jack Giacalone, was one of Jimmy Hoffa's
yes.
good friends. And I don't know if y'all watched The Irishman.
Of course. It
was a big movie over quarantine, but
you're in the Jimmy Hoffa squad, you're in big time.
And he was supposed to meet Hoffa the day that he disappeared. So but yeah, my big takeaway from that story, Phil probably I don't think he was pissed off that 500, you know, it came out that $500,000 was owed to him, but yeah, let's be honest. I mean, you know, they got to 500. How many signatures was it?
50,000.
50,000. 50,000
split
signatures.
Split it into the Rocket Mortgage charity and then to Phil Mickelson's charity. And they said, look, Phil, we're sorry. And that's all you can do. That's
yeah.
heck of a deal.
And the city of Detroit needs him.
Yes.
I mean, I think the tournament needs him. You know, yes, Detroit Country Club is very pure. But, you know, at the end of the day, Phil's doing the city a huge favor showing up.
It's a wonderful tournament for a wonderful cause. And Phil's playing the part like he does. And helping grow the game in a community that's maybe a little underprivileged, right?
Absolutely. And now I'm sure jumping on his jet with Bryson and heading to Wyoming to play the match maybe made them both forget about the Detroit drama. What do you think, Jason?
Well, I tell you what. Look, Moonlight Basin. It came off wonderful on TV. Look, for my take, I'd rather have it a little more of a name golf course, maybe a public golf course that I think you and I. Or, you know, if you goes on a guy's golf trip, you could go play it. I don't know how many people are going to go out to Montana and play Moonlight Basin, but the elevation changes were wild. A couple things we found out, Aaron Rodgers can just flat out putt. He can roll the rock. Cost me some money talking about gambling. I played Phil and Brady. Brady didn't show up. He's more worried about football coming up, of course. But I thought the banter was really good. I thought, you know, Bryson and Phil egging each other. A-Rod asked Phil about his TaylorMade driver, as big as he is with Callaway, which was wonderful. But, yeah, if a grizzly bear appeared out of one of those trees and attacked Bryson, that would have been more must-see TV. But I thought it was a solid match.
And Brady needs a lesson from the big pro, okay? We've seen him on TV twice now. The game has to get better. You know, if other athletes – with less of a work ethic than him can get to scratch to plus five, Tom Brady can do it.
Yes.
I just know it. And yes. But, yeah, you know, Bryson also had the media scouring over him because of him and Tim Tucker's divorce. I'm calling these dramatic caddy player split-ups, I'm calling them divorces.
Yes. Well, that's exactly what they are, Will. They're exactly like a divorce. And I think they got in a bad argument, talked about it. I wouldn't be shocked if Tim Tucker is back on the bag before the end of the season.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think speaking of the match, you know, I thought the front nine was excellent commentary
yes.
Between everyone, but I feel like 4 hours is a super long time for a guy like Aaron Rodgers and even Tom Brady to be talking on a golf course.
I really enjoyed having the Barkley aspect of the last yeah. match and having Charles play behind him. I think if they did two groups, obviously you have the premier group and then have some comedians that are playing behind them. And maybe it's just the back nine and they do a nine-hole match. There's something they're missing. There's a little bit extra. I think the production's wonderful, but there's just a little extra scoop of ice cream that I think to really dial it in.
I think someone like Bill Murray or Kevin Costner out there with
yes.
those guys would be great. Phil's fantastic.
He is.
Commentary, but
Tiger was the same. Tiger didn't yeah. give a whole lot of dimes, and Bryson was good, but he's carrying the whole show.
Absolutely, and my two things were, you know, I thought Tom and Aaron both ran out of things to say
they
after
did.
The front nine, and Aaron was one-wording the announcers after he kind of toyed with their question. He got asked, you know, he said he wasn't sure who the starting quarterback in Green Bay is going to be next year. and not that – I don't think he was pissed off about the question. I just think it's tough to get Aaron Rodgers to speak for 4 hours.
For anything. Sure,
and,
I agree.
You know, Tom's commentary ended on 12 and, you know, I thought his game kind of ended there too. Yeah. But, you know, if he could consult you or the golf doctor, I think that'd be best for Tom.
Absolutely. The golf doctor, I know he's listening this morning. We got to dial up Tom Brady. We'll all go to Tampa Bay and give him some swing tips.
And so after Rocket Mortgage, I feel like there's a – I feel like the John Deere Classic field this week is kind of – Is this a tournament that's kind of fading away as we see more and more players go over to the Scottish Open the week before?
Absolutely. I think the field, you know, when Spieth carried the field for a long time. Yeah. After he won, he continued to play in it. So he was the true headliner.
And that's who I kind of had in mind.
Exactly. But when they lost Spieth, I mean, look, you look at the leaderboard, and it's still a PGA Tour event, but you got Luke List and Lucas Glover as the headliners here on the front page going into the weekend. It's not exactly a loaded field at Deer Run in Illinois.
Yeah, so we'll get to that too, Pro. I know you have a big trip this weekend, heading down to Horseshoe Bay. Tell us, what event are you winning this weekend?
Well, I tell you what, Epps has been on me for the golf doctor's been on me here for about 8 years. Said, boy, when are you going to win something? Well, Mr. Epps, I'm going to tell you what. Tuesday evening, I'm going to call you, and we'll see what happens. Playing with the director of golf at Carlton Woods, Emilio Seuss. A little low ball, but all the pros are coming. Got a little lake house. We're going to have some fun, hop in the water, and make a bunch of birdies.
I love that. I love that. So we're going to get to some Olympics. You know, the Olympics isn't going to have fans, but you know, there's a lot of COVID restrictions at the Open, and it's just a huge difference from what the players have been accustomed to the last 2 months here in the States. And we've even heard from players that have been over there for a while. Rory, players expressing, their doubts about. I need to read into it just a tad bit more. Our families, I'm not sure if families can all stay together. I think there's a certain number.
It's three.
It's three.
And that's the big restriction that I found out last night, which I didn't understand. When you're allowing 40,000 fans on property each day, but you're telling me if you're one of the tour players. And a lot of these guys have gone over and quarantined already just to get over there. They played the Scottish. Some guys didn't play at the Deer to go over there and quarantine a little bit. So to have three people in your group, you can't intermingle. You can't be around any other players or caddies or their groups. But you're going to be around 40,000 fans each day when you play golf. That didn't quite make sense. It doesn't match up.
Yeah, no. And I think, you know, in other sports, for maybe our fan, our listener out there who hasn't been too up to date with PGA Tour COVID policies, but I know certainly this was a similar stance that Wimbledon took, and Roger Federer kind of expressed how important that core group that he travels with is to him, and how his wife wasn't there. It was upsetting. These players need a team.
Nowadays the squads are
huge in every sport.
Sport.
I mean, and I think people are starting to find out more of that with individual sports, how individual sports require a team.
Right.
So when we come back, we will discuss the Olympics not having fans and what that means for golf in the Olympics after 2021. We will also discuss Sung Jae-im and Siwoo Kim skipping the Open to prep for a golf tournament that could ultimately change the course of their next 2 years, and find out why on the other side of the break of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour at Charlie Epps Show on Twitter on Sports Map Radio Network, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Don't go anywhere.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, 26. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour at Charlie Epps Show on Twitter. Go follow us on Sports Map Radio Network, brought to you by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Let me just tell you, a little more about the great people over in Insperity. Listen here, business owners. Have you ever felt the walls closing in, that the obstacles to growing your business are overwhelming? We all know that running a business comes with pressure, remote workforces, HR compliance, and most of all, keeping your top employees. There's no wonder you start to feel boxed in. But you don't have to do it alone. Fortunately, there's Insperity. They put 30-plus years of experience to work helping you with your human resources, from hiring and training to HR admin and compliance. Add in competitive benefit options for your employees, and you've expanded your HR capabilities. With Insperity lightening your HR load, you can focus on growing your business, surrounded by employees who are empowered to be their best. Don't let the obstacles keep you from realizing your full potential. Get the relief that you need. An HR company that puts you and your employees on the path to success. Because with Insperity, nothing seems impossible. Jason.
Insperity is absolutely the best, Will.
Unbelievable people. Unbelievable people.
Great people.
Shout out to my man, John Sorrentino. We're going to get together and play some golf with him very soon. And Dion's going to join us as well.
You got to get Sorrentino at least 3-a-side. Minimum.
So, Jason, let's get into these player restrictions at the Open compared to the fan restrictions. It's not
incomparable.
It's tough to comprehend.
It's like you're on two different continents.
It really is.
Not understanding it. And I think the players, if I were a player, I'd be kind of upset too. I mean, you can't travel with any family. Like I said, we just talked about it on the last segment. You can't travel with your team, your trainers. You only bring one. And like I said, most of these guys have a squad of about 8 to 10, 12 guys that they roll with. And now you can bring a couple with you. So it's gonna affect them, I think, a little bit. But it's the day and time we live in. I just don't understand the restrictions at all.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to talk about some of the COVID restrictions. And you know, as hosts, you know, I know we don't want to get into the COVID. It's been a big part of everything the past year. You know, it's a stale topic. But for players, this is very relevant. I mean, we have Kevin Na has withdrawn. Ricky Fowler has openly spoke out against these restrictions, and some players are skipping it to focus on other events. We'll talk about that here shortly. But let's start.
I think Ricky's upset because their whole group, PJT, Jordan, DJ, they all stay in the same house. It's a big trip for them, and so they can't stay at the same house this year. And it would tick me off a little bit too.
Absolutely, I think it's all part of that experience. And the other thing is caddies and coaches cannot stay with players, and players, like we just said, cannot stay with other players. And just to give you a background on how PGA Tour pros travel, for listeners that aren't your week-to-week fans, golf isn't a sport fans, but players travel with a team every week. That goes for golf, and that goes for tennis now. They usually have a caddy, a coach, a trainer, and for the top players in the world, like Brooks Koepka, they even have a chef with them.
That's right. Which Koepka's old chef used to be the chef at Carlton Woods, Michael Parker, and now he's on Cantlay's. He's cooking up all the good food for Patrick Cantlay nowadays. But he was with Koepka during his 3 Open wins.
Talk about some winners.
Woo.
He's got Cantlay on track this year. Cantlay has 2 or 3 wins. His last one came at the Memorial. You know, speaking of COVID restrictions, you know, we saw how that went down with John Rahm. And you can't – it's tough to think that, with these restrictions, you know, not only so caddies and so coaches can't stay together. It's tough to think that with these restrictions, we're not going to get a little bit of that same drama that we saw at the Memorial at the Open this week.
Next week. Yeah. Right. I'd agree. Well, what about the Olympics, Will? What about no fans at the Olympics?
It's, that's I think, maybe a little less surprising. I think what's so surprising about England is – they've opened up a little bit here and there. There's 32,000 fans that are going to be at the Open next week. Will Zalatoris, he said, and I quote, you know, this is definitely a lot tighter, and everyone's got to deal with it. But he said he was watching soccer last night, and there were 60,000 fans at Wembley.
In a stadium.
Right. And
yes.
In Tokyo, we haven't really seen that yet. Things are still progressing. So it's certainly understandable, but for golf at the Olympics, in the position after players not going to Rio de Janeiro, in the last Olympics, and now And now this, limited fans at both Olympics. It's tough to see the future of golf at the Olympics if there's no fans there to really get this venue riled up.
Well, it could be a rumor, but it's a little bit on the dock that if they're going to even keep golf at the Olympics, and this isn't going to do it any favors not having fans there this year. And golf's so different, watching without fans. And, you know, my take is I think watching the gymnast and the divers and the track and field, it's always cooler to have fans, of course, but I don't think it's going to affect that as much visually as it will golf. And I think it's going to look a little odd on TV. It's still the Olympics. I'm still going to watch. I'm going to watch it all. But it's not going to feel the same, of course.
Yeah, that's an interesting point how, you know, like I'm kind of looking back at all those medals that Phelps won. And there's not really many fans in that gymnasium. But I think that race-style competition, you don't really need them on TV. It's just like, wow.
Right.
And, you know, I think –
TV sponsors are worried, yeah. I'm telling you, but I wouldn't worry too much. I think they're going to come off great. We all want to watch it on TV in prime time. What else are we going to watch? Come on.
And it's pretty late to do this, but I certainly think they should consider bringing Golf Olympics. Just bring it to the States for this time around. You need fans. You got to keep Golf Olympics growing. You know, I think that's the way to go. But dialing it back to a little bit of these restrictions at the Open and, of course, the Olympics. You know, Pete Cowan is a coach who is at every tour event, would most likely be at the Olympics. But, you know, he said he planned to stay in a huge RV with a few caddies. And I think it takes a golfer to understand that feeling of taking a trip and kind of teaming up together. No one wants to stay alone when you travel that far. Can you kind of pitch into that a little bit on what that means to kind of come together on an overseas golf trip? Staying together, you know.
Oh, of course. And in any golf trip, but yeah, you want to hang out after the round, you're going to hit a few balls, do your work at the golf course, and then a big part of winning a golf tournament is feeling comfortable off the golf course, going to dinner, having some fun with your buddies, unplugging. And so, yeah, spending a little time by yourself is not going to be that comfortable.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's going to be boring.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to get to the fans who maybe think that these tour players are maybe complaining a little bit on the spoiled side. I think it's totally understandable how – you know, they don't want to be there alone.
Sure.
And, you know, 32,000 fans will be allowed at the tournament. And I don't know if you saw this, but I was scrolling through my Twitter a feed yesterday, and it was a video of Rory at the Scottish Open on the first tee. And a fan lifts up the rope, walks over to his bag. It's Jon Rahm and Rory McIlroy playing.
He owned it at least, though. I'm telling you, yeah, he looked like he belonged. Which, hey, I'll tell you what, I've said this my whole life. Just act like you belong. You might get there. You can't do it at a tour event.
If those two were in the States, they'd have a sheriff with them armed, ready to go all the time. But, yeah, this guy just went over to Rory's bag, tried to pull out his driver, just got the head cover, and then took out a wedge and kind of put it down and act like he was going to hit. Super calm guy. I mean, but he wanted Rory's head cover.
I wish he'd had a golf ball in his pocket. I want to see the move, Will. I wanted to see the move.
Yeah, absolutely. And but I just think it you know, watching that video kind of added to, you're going to let a fan get this close to the players. But yes. But coaches and trainers.
Stay away.
You know, and so – but we have a lot more to discuss. You know, we have some players not even bothering with the Open. Sung J.M. and Siwoo Kim, they said no thanks. We have the Olympics to prep for, and this is going to be a tournament that determines the rest of their lives. And you know, if they don't medal at the Olympics, they're going to the South Korean military.
I mean, Will, look here. I've had a putt for $500 on the 18th hole at a golf course with $5 in my pocket. Now that's a little bit of pressure. But you're talking about going into the military if you don't win the gold? Are you kidding me? Is that a little bit outlandish? Is this a little too much? I mean, come on. And I guess I just don't quite understand how the South Korean rules work, but wow. Talk about putting some importance on a golf event.
So some little history with that. Golfers from South Korea, you know, we had KJ Choi, who did his service before. Sangmun Bae waited, and he's kind of feeling those you know, that time away. And we'll get into that more a little bit on the other side of the break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the John Deere Classic and rank some of these major championships. And we'll be right back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. See you on the other side.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, 840 here on Sports Map Radio Network. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour at Charlie Epps Golf on Twitter. Don't forget to give us a follow. Presented by Insperity HR. That makes a difference. Let's throw it over to Pro for a professional tip.
Real quick, Will, who did the tunes today? A little bit different. We changed it up. Was that you, Will?
Yeah, we're switching it up. We got to get the people a little more fired up coming back.
Yeah, rocking and rolling. Look here, a little instructional tip from the Cantsman Pro here that'll help everybody's golf game. It's not mechanical, but it's all about rhythm. All about rhythm. I need you to grab your 7-iron. Get your 7-iron out. Now, look, I hit my 7-iron about 170 yards, so I'm going to try to hit mine 100 yards on 3 consecutive swings. We want to hit about 60% of your total yardage, so nice and smooth. It's going to feel slow motion. And then on that fourth ball, we're going to let her fly. We're going to step on the pedal. It's cold, trickle-setting days of thunder. Drop the hammer. And then go back to 3 smoothies. So we're going to do a 3-to-1 on the range while you warm up. You'll start to feel your arms, your hips, your body sync up to hit that golf ball a lot more pure and a heck of a lot more straight. Golf tip from the Casper Pro. Come on.
Love it. We'll start. We're going to start throwing that in there. You know, we'll get some good tips from the golf doctor. But I love that. Great stuff from Jason Alexander. Go do that today. And when you go practice, get on the range, whether you're playing, whatever you're doing, you can even do that in your backyard.
Absolutely. It's just swinging smooth. Your body feels everything the slower you swing. But you don't want to lose speed. So that fourth swing, you got to let it fly. Let it rip. So I think I'm telling you, 30 minutes of that every day, it'll do wonders for your golf swing. You don't have to change your golf swing at all. This is just going to sync it up.
Let's discuss the Open Championship from a more odds, picks perspective. Enough about the COVID. Let's discuss that before we get into the John Deere Classic. Listen, Royal St. George is a course that really stands the test of time, like most golf courses over there. You know, leading the way in the odds, John Rahm 9-1, Rory at 11-1, Dustin Johnson at 12-1, Bryson and Brooks both at 14-1, which
of
is
course.
Interesting. Pro, who do we like at Royal St. George next week?
Well, here's a couple hot takes for me. I've got one question: is John Rahm, is this U.S. Open win? Is this going to turn him from Rambo into the Terminator? I mean, we hadn't seen a player take the reins consistently, obviously, like Tiger did, but even we're close. Dustin gets up there and then falls back off. But is this U.S. Open win going to turn Rahm into being an unbeatable guy? Is this what he needed? Is he going to rattle off 3 or 4 majors coming up? That remains to be seen because no one else has done it in years, right? Here's my pick. It's hard to say the number 3 player in the world is a sleeper, but Justin Thomas has been very cold since winning the Players' Championship. Hadn't done much. Been off the radar. Struggling with putting. I like him going to Royal St. George. Greens are a little bit slower. I think he's going to find his stroke. He's going to find his mojo. I definitely like him to top 5. And look out for JT to win the 2021 British Open.
And, Pro, I can't agree with you more about, you know, how much confidence did John Rahm get from winning the U.S. Open? I think it's through the roof, and I think what he's learned just here over the past 6 to 7 months, I mean, I'm seeing a completely different John Rahm out there, and let me explain why. Obviously, John Rahm is still a very, very young player. The outbursts, the tantrums, it's expected. He's got a little Spaniard blood in him. We've seen, you know, Sergio.
Sure.
They're emotional. Rafa Nadal, they get fired up. It's life to them. But what Rahm talked about after that U.S. Open win, which I thought was it was amazing to me because I was at the PGA this year at Kiawah, and he at the U.S. Open he noted back to the second round at Kiawah. In this very moment, I was watching him. It was on the par 3, I think 13th at Kiawah. I need to check that. But anyways, he was in the bunker long and. He hit a nice little nipper out of the bunker. It just came up a little bit short, and it looked like he was going to slam his club into the ground, and this woman in the crowd goes, no, 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 like she was his mom. You
know, like Happy Gilmore.
Don't even think about that. Yeah, and he looked over with that Rahm death stare, and, you know, you could see him kind of get frustrated. He ended up making a couple bogeys, and he noted that specific hole, that round where he went, you know, after, and this was in his interview after the U.S. Open,
right.
He said, you know, I really learned that day that in order to move forward with my golf swing, with my life, I have a family now, I have a son who's going to watch me, I really have to mature. And he really is. And he's standing all the tests. I mean, even that video of the guy, you know, going through Rory's bag. I think old Rom maybe would have tackled him.
I think he might have really form tackled him. Yeah.
But that's a guy I really wouldn't want to mess with. But, you know, it is amazing how much Rom has matured. And man, he's such a predictable player right now with his ball flight. It's just a slight pull, if not the pure cut. I think the guy's really dialed in.
Well, he shoots 66, 65, rounds one and two at the Scottish Open. He's struggling a little bit today. He's one over par early, but right in the mix. So, look, Rahm's feeling it. If he keeps the putter hot, he's got the sauce, he's got the mojo, and he should be the favorite. And I'll tell you this, with Ricky being in the news, another little sleeper, I do like Ricky to top 10. I think Fowler, it's just about his time. Now, the golf doctor, if he's listening, golf doctor's rolling his eyeballs at me right now, I guarantee you. But, hey, Mr. Epps, let me tell you something. He finishes top 10 at the PGA. Nobody saw that coming except me. And look out for him and the British to compete. He hits it low. And like I said, I think these guys have been struggling with their putters just a little bit. It's always good to get on some greens that are a little bit slower, be a little more aggressive, and I think they can find it. Fowler and JT coming out of the woodwork to Royal St. George.
And I think another sleeper that – well, obviously a well-known name won the Open at St. Andrews, Louis Oosthuizen.
He's on everybody's lips right now.
What a great player on Lynx Golf and played Pebble so well, Jason, as you saw. But, I think he does make a pretty strong run at this title. I just think, as far as picks goes, it's a very affordable pick, 28-1. But just some other odds here. I think it's interesting, you know, Bryson and Brooks paired up together at 14-1. And there's a ton of great topics to discuss with them. I want to get your opinion on this, but so many people want them paired together in the first rounds of major championships. I just think it'd be so much more organic
if they got made on the weekend.
If they played into the pairing, and to make this drama, and you know, with the Player Impact Fund, all that, for this to keep going for years to come, and to really get a true rivalry. They need to play their way in together into a major championship.
They have to have a showdown on a Sunday. And then it goes through the roof, Will. It goes through the roof, this rivalry does. But they've got to meet organically, like you said. And it can't be man-made. You can't do it on Thursday, Friday.
I think if Brooks could just put – I don't want to say effort, because obviously he shows up to major championships and he backs it up. I mean, just coming in, you know, top five machine. Obviously, he won three of them. But – you know, if he could just get maybe a little more energized about these week-to-week events, Bryson plays a lot.
Yes.
He's out there every week. And
he's in the mix quite a bit. Brooks isn't in the mix ever except in majors. Ever.
He played the Palmetto Championship like 3 weeks ago. I'm sure you remember that. And it just didn't even look like he wanted to be there. And I think these two, something I'm pretty scared about with these two is the Ryder Cup and what Captain Stricker is going to have to go through to kind of get these guys on the same page. And Rory was asked about it this week. You know, what does that mean for Europe? And, you know, it's the Ryder Cup is in Europe this year. The fans are going to eat Bryson and Brooks alive.
Especially Bryson. I think Brooks, even if you're from across the pond, but I think Brooks, they're not going to jack with quite as much, but it's going to be relentless on DeChambeau. Relentless.
I think Brooks and Bryson need to get together for a Guinness, next week in England, and kind of squash things out. I just think this Ryder Cup is so important. We've lost how many straight in Europe? I mean, it's ridiculous. And you know, I'd rather see Brooks kind of maybe go pick his next target. That's gonna boost him up the Player Impact Fund leaderboard. I just think it's so, you know, Bryson and Brooks are two, you know, just so, they're so, it's two very American players, you know. Find someone else to, you know, to go after. I still don't see Brooks' reasoning for kind of picking Bryson. I know, you know, he's the nerd of the PGA Tour.
Yes.
But when you really deep dive into it, he's motivated by data analytics, growing the game. Is great for sponsors. I mean, Bryson seems like, you know, if I keep telling people it's either him or Morikawa, but Bryson is a guy that I would invest 10% of stock in.
Sure.
For the next 10 years of his career. I'd have no problem doing that.
You did make a good point, though. I agree with you. And if Guinness Beer wanted to pay him each $1 million, what kind of entertaining commercial could they shoot with Brooksy and Bryson over?
Hey, it'd be a lot better than those Michelob commercials.
Yes. Oh, them cheersing at a bar over there, the British, or the Ryder Cup. That would be awesome. All right, look here. Who do you think, Will? What's your Lee Westwood, I think, is another name, just a little older, but what, Darren Clark's the last? Is that the last winner at Royal St. George?
I believe so, but Lee Westwood.
I mean, if Darren Clark can win at his age, do we have to look at a couple of the older guys?
Absolutely.
Westwood's leading the Scottish right now. Kind of a hot take over there. He always plays well in the British. Could be a little bit of a sleeper. He's had a great year, best year he's had on tour and in the majors here in about 5 or 6 years.
I believe that age doesn't matter on Lynx Dog golf courses. And I think it's more true. I think it's true that Open Championship venues are more inviting to some of the older players rather than U.S. Open venues, although that wasn't the case at Torrey this year. Listen, Lee Westwood, top 10. I have to look up the odds, but top 10 in any major. I mean, this guy's a machine.
It's going to be juice.
And, you know, after Sergio got it done at the Masters a few years ago, you have to think that I do believe that Lee Westwood has the game to still win a major championship. I mean, if Phil can do it, and if Tiger, out of all people, I mean, I know, you know, Tiger's in a different ballpark. He's taken down Lee Westwood a bunch, but with the operation that Tiger went under with his back, you know, if he can win a major at that age, you know, Lee Westwood looks great.
Hey, Lee Westwood, 14 under through 45 holes at the Scottish Open live right now. So
just real quick, you know, the leaderboard at John Deere, we go, you know, Ryan Moore, T3 at 11 under, Chesson Hadley, T3 at 11 under, Nick Taylor and Duffner are up there.
Duffner making an appearance on the front page.
We love it.
Oh,
we love
baby.
It.
Yeah. And he's a little Duffner.
And on the other side, we're going to make our picks for the John Deere. We're going to throw in some picks for the Open as well, on top of what the pro has given us. And we'll
put some money in your pocket. Stay
yes,
tuned.
Sir. We'll do that right here on the other side of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SportsMap Radio Network, presented by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Stay right with us.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, 8:56, wrapping up here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SportsMap Radio Network, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. So before we make our picks for the John Deere this weekend, you know, I know we have some action going on in Tahoe. Jason, what's going on up there? What are your picks for that?
Well, the celebrity showdown. First off, can't go wrong with little Josie. She's on a vacation far away, Will. Look, celebrity showdown in Tahoe. Mike Modano, the former Dallas Star, a little hockey player with an albatross yesterday. First in tournament history. He's tied with John Smoltz for the lead. Look, Modano's out of there. Smoltz is going to win. Tony Romo's 5 back. Look out for a little weekend charge. And the biggest surprise of the entire event is Charles Barkley is actually beating 6 other participants. He's not in last place.
So, yeah, and Barkley has an $80,000 bet what does he have it on? Is he finishes top 20?
Well, that's not going to happen. But there's about 80 players. I'm shocked he didn't finish last. But Al Michaels is holding up the rear there, the legendary announcer. And then working into the John Deere look. Little hot take here from the consummate pro, Lucas Glover, the old glove. Weekend supercharge coming, shoot 63, bogey-free on Friday. Look out for Glove to win for the first time in, I don't know, about 10 years, former U.S. Open champion. Bet the house.
So I have, first off, love that. And, you know, Lucas Glover had the issues a couple years ago where, you know,
he'll make his wife happy too.
Didn't get the job done. Wife nearly beat him to death. My pick for the 2021 John Deere is Jason Duffner, who's currently at 9 under. We're going to have probably a 65-62 weekend for Duffner. And it wouldn't surprise me if he did it. He did it at Oak Hill a couple years ago. Well, actually, it's not a couple now. About 10 years ago since Duffner got that major championship under his belt. But this is a guy who can go super low. I love his Hogan roots. That's my pick for the deer.
He's going to bring the waggle to Illinois.
And, Jason, one last one. Who is your number one big pick for the Open Championship?
I'm sticking with Justin Thomas. JT's my pick officially for the 2021 U.S. Open. Roll St. George. JT gets a second major. Come on, baby.
All right, and I'm gonna take Rory. Hopefully, I'm gonna take Rory at 11-1. Hopefully, the wind stays.
We can get some practice in this weekend.
Yeah, hopefully, the wind stays down on the greens because, as we know, putting in the wind on links is the toughest part about it. Rory's on a major struggle bus with that putter, but
everybody would love to see it if Rory's in the mix. It's good for golf.
And as we move into the weekend, Jason. Take them low this weekend.
Off to Horseshoe Bay. Birdie Fest coming. Laser show commencing 8:10. A Ramrock in Horseshoe Bay.
And listen, what a show today. Good luck to everyone with picks and weekend golf. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity HR. That makes a difference. Everyone have a great weekend. Sean Mace behind the screen. I appreciate it, buddy.
Come on.